Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, brethren.
Oh, Abraham would raise his hands, and on this very day, and for his children left the promised land in search of their own way. They kick and scream like wayward sons, and always wanting to sleep. Dream away these evil days in hopes that God can see.
Hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast. I am your host, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry, and with me tonight,
Worshipful Brother Joe.
Worshipful Brother Ken.
And with us tonight, Brother Art Del Cueto. I got it.
Yeah, you got it.
Good job.
Don't make him say it again.
And
that was perfect.
I'm glad, because I'm telling you, I butchered the hell out of last night. Brother, you are from right outside of Tucson, Arizona, and you are a Border Patrol agent.
Yeah, so I don't really plug me being an agent, but obviously it's obvious, right, when right. People start looking me up. And the reason I'm able to do a lot of these things, and I do a lot of podcasts, I do a lot of news interviews, TV interviews, and different things like that, is because I can wear my union hat, right? Uh-huh. So, I work out of Tucson sector, but I am the local president of the union down here. And then I'm the national vice president of the Border Patrol Council. I'm also the spokesman for the Border Patrol Council. I am the host of the Green Line. I have my own, podcast and radio show down here in Tucson. And well, I mean, you can pick it up wherever you're at it. We work through iHeartRadio and it's called the Green Line. And we speak a lot about political and little border issues and stuff that happens. Mm-hmm. And then once in a while, when more times than not, when I have a certain manager or a leader in my organization that is just a bully and picking on agents, uh-huh. I go ahead and drop his name and I attack him on the podcast.
It's kind of like what we do with the Illuminati Brotherhood.
It's kind of like what we do with each other.
Right?
You know? Yeah, exactly.
It's called the world. You know how it is.
Right. Yep,
you know?
Yep.
I've been accused of that. I think I've been accused of that one too many times already, though.
Yeah, we're going to get into that a little bit. Absolutely.
So we'll start off with this before we get into your Masonic career.
Right.
I want to say it was episode 3 or 4. When the big hot political debate was building the border wall down south. And
right.
And I'm going to read the meme that I had seen, which infuriated me.
And while you're looking that up, I just want to state those were the dark times before Brother Ken and I. Worshipful yes. Brother Ken and I joined yes. the podcast.
The long, long ago.
Yes.
The before time.
The Dark Ages.
So that was like February of this year, I think,
right? We came on in like March.
So. See, here we go.
There was that period.
See, Brother Art, this is what I'm talking about. It's the...
Well, Brother Art, what you're going to find out is that Worshipful Brother George, God forbid I get that wrong,
yes.
Likes to make this all about him sometimes.
Oh,
so
God.
So be okay. Just understand that going in. So we like
That's
to
good.
We
That's
like to
good.
Push back a little bit.
To remind him.
Someone's got to be the star, brother. Someone's got to be the
That's
star.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, but if you saw my hair, you'd know it was me. But you can't see that right now.
You can
so.
See it.
Well, I don't have hair, so I'll be the last to attack it.
All right. So the meme that was posted was actually a picture of you standing next to President Donald Trump. And it was talking about you were in the White House and you were discussing
right.
the situation down at the border. You mm-hmm. were wearing your Masonic lapel pin. And
right.
you were talking, and some fucking idiot. I'm gonna flat out say it. Raph's gonna yell at me for dropping an F-bomb.
Well, you should beep that out.
We'll see.
Okay,
if I feel like it. But it's a picture of you, and below it has the square and compasses, and then below that it reads "Freemasonic pin worn by the Border Patrol agent Art Del
Cueto."
Cueto, thank you. Told you I was going to butcher it again.
Perfect.
During White House press briefing about building the wall. The wall is not for being built for criminals, terrorists, or Mexicans. It's for being built by the New World Order. I can't even say this without laughing. Illuminati, Freemasons to keep you locked in so that when the government established martial law, take your guns away, activate FEMA camps, and start indiscriminately murdering you. You will never be able to escape the horror of what's about to unfold.
I remember seeing that.
That's
too,
the meme.
Oh my God.
And I went on a tangent during that episode. And so unbeknownst to me, a couple days ago, I think it was actually earlier this week, I got a message through Facebook.
Yeah, it was Monday.
And it was Worship Brother Art.
Yep.
And he says, "Hey, thank you for defending me on the podcast." And I'll be honest.
And you were like, "What?"
We're like, "Who's messing with us?"
Brother Art, you'll laugh at this.
Who's this guy?
Well, we have a good run at each other on the podcast, right? So I'm looking at the message and I'm like, this is totally Joe with a fake Facebook account.
Somebody's catfishing
us. He's catfishing me here, right? And then I had to look. I'm like, nah. So I went through and I'm like, oh my God, it is him. So it's a distinct honor and pleasure to have you on with us.
So in addition to that, so once he decided that I wasn't messing with him, he sent me a message saying, "Oh my God, this guy just messaged me," and I'm thinking to myself, okay, now George is messing with me. This isn't really happening.
None of us trust each other.
We've got that relationship where we just don't trust each other. So it's a pleasure to have you on. It's a pleasure to have you with us. One question that we do have is, how was it brought to your attention? Were you listening to the podcast? Did somebody tell you that we were speaking about you?
Yeah, one of my brothers in Lodge, he sent me a text. And he listens to you guys religiously, and he sends me, his name is Toby. So shout out to Toby. I gotta give him that shout out.
We'll give Toby a little toast later on.
Toby's getting a toast.
So Toby sends me this, and he says, "Hey brother, check this out." And I was like, I didn't even know what it was. So I opened it up and I listened to it. And I was like, oh, great. These guys are going to roast me. And then I was a little upset before I even saw it. And I'm going to tell you why. Because so there's different Facebook pages, obviously, that are run by Masons.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's one particular one here in Arizona. And it was Arizona Masons. And there was another, Masons Worldwide, just different Facebook pages.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody posted a picture. And it wasn't that meme. I've seen a whole bunch of others that they've made fun of it. Uh-huh. And they posted a picture, and it was a brother, but he was attacking me politically. And then other guys jumped on, and then some of the guys that were in favor of what I was saying jumped on there, and they started saying, "No, you don't know this guy." And then somebody that knew me jumped on and says, "Hey, I know Art. Uh-huh. Art, he's a past master. Uh-huh. I know him. He's solid. He's a good dude." And they just, different guys start going back and forth. So when I see yours, the one that Toby sends me, I'm like, oh man, are these guys roasting me? And then I listened to it and I said, wow, these guys are really, really cool. They're rock stars.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah. When I
So I really was, I enjoyed it. I said, you know what? These guys are solid. They're helping out. And then I just wanted to go with it. You know what I mean? I didn't want to, I listened to it. I thought it was fantastic. I will tell you this though, that everybody, the memes that are out there and what's being said, I wasn't at the White House talking about building a wall. Mm-hmm. That's not even what that was about.
Right, right.
I was there that day concerning the shutdown. We were going through a government shutdown at the time, which I myself was suffering through the shutdown because I hadn't been paid. So I went, a couple months without a paycheck. Mm-hmm. And I went out there to the White House. I've been there several times. President Trump wanted to talk to us. We show up. We're sitting there in the Oval Office, right? So we're just kicking back, talking about different issues, drinking a couple of sodas.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went back and forth and we were explaining some things. And then President Trump says, that's a really good point. One of the things that I had told him, I said, look, I want my paycheck, plain and simple.
Yeah.
But I understand you're not the one that controls it right now. Congress needs to get together and be able to come up with a budget.
Mm-hmm.
I don't consider border issues or immigration issues or border security anything that should be divided by parties. I think whether you you're right wing, you're left wing, you're liberal, you're conservative, whatever. At the end of the day, either party, either individual that belongs to that party, they want to feel secure at home.
Right.
And I asked that to a lot of people. I said, okay, so you don't like Trump, you do like Trump. My only question to you is this. When you go home at night and you go to sleep, do you lock your door? And everyone tells me they lock their door. And I say, well, that's all I'm asking for our nation's borders. I just want it to be, you know, the borders to be locked. And if people want to come into my home, they knock on my door. Mm-hmm. If they want to come into the country, I want them to knock on my door. And I said that to the president. So then President Trump says, you know what? Let's do a press conference.
Guess what? It's your job now.
Right. I said, I mean, what am I going to tell the president? No, I think that's a horrible
thing. No, I can't
do
that.
Exactly. Yeah, no.
Let's do it. So then President Trump immediately says, all right, well, let's get ready. And I stopped at that point. I said, wait a minute. You mean like do it right now? And he said, yeah, we're already here. So he called other people.
So that's
in,
how all that.
And then Sarah Sanders comes into the room and he explains it to her. And Sarah Sanders said, well, you know, you're the president. We know whatever you want to do. We were originally going to do it outside, like in the grass area.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then, but for security reasons, she said, hey, we need to do it in the press room.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they did bring up, they said, President Trump, you have, because it was the first press conference that he had ever given where he spoke in the press room. Uh-huh. It's usually his press secretary that speaks there. He hadn't, right. Throughout his whole presidency, he had not spoken there. It was going to be the first time. Uh-huh. And they reminded him, they said, hey, you know, it's your first time doing it. And he said, well, I got all these guys with me. He goes, you know, I feel pretty safe.
Well, okay then.
Right. So within 10 minutes within 10 minutes, we were already standing in the hall. And, you know, the people in charge were saying, okay, you stand here, you stand there, you stand this, everyone. And then President Trump looked at our national president and he says, I'm going to introduce you and then you introduce Art. And then I was asked, he goes, do you want to introduce anyone? So I immediately said, yeah, I'm going to introduce Hector Garza. And the only reason I did it is because, one, Hector Garza is a great guy, mm-hmm. but I wanted him to feel the pressure just like I was feeling the pressure.
Right, well, exactly.
This guy speak too.
Spread it around a little bit.
Spread the wealth.
Right? Yeah. So 3 minutes later, we're all standing up there. It was completely ad lib. There was no notes. I mean, if there was any planning about it, it was probably 10 minutes of planning before we even went out there. And we did what we did. Afterwards, we went back to the Oval Office. We spoke, we sat down in one of the lunchrooms and we kicked back and we spoke for about another hour and then we left. Well, as soon as I leave, my phone was already blowing up.
I can only imagine what that must be like.
It was insane. It was like nonstop blowing up. There was guys that I represent, agents that were saying good job. Obviously my guys, my brothers from Lodge, you know, were, mm-hmm. you know, thumbs up and everything. Hey, we saw you up there. Hey, we saw that you wore the pin because I always wear a Masonic pin. So yep. When I go, I've done hundreds of interviews with Fox. Mm-hmm. I always pick a different Masonic pin to wear from a different lodge.
Mm-hmm.
So and now they're given to me and I wear it because I want to be able to say, I don't wear it because of the whole, oh, look how mystical he's a Freemason.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I honestly wear it because I want to be able to be up there, and obviously I'm a representative of the Border Patrol agents. That's what I speak on behalf of. But at the same time, I wear these pins because, bro, I grew up in a small town on the border. Mm. I'm in the freaking White House, man.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the White House. You know, I've been in there, you know, several, more than, like, close to five times. I'm in the White House. When I wear a Masonic pin on my clothing and I'm in the White House, I'm not Art. It's right. Not me. It's every single brother that wears that ring. It's every brother that has taken the oath. It's every brother that's a Mason. Whether you like President Trump or don't like President Trump, right. We got to agree, it's the White House. You're in the
gotta
White House.
Got to respect the office.
Yeah.
And, you have to respect the office.
And that's why I do it, man. But yeah, I got bombarded by a lot of hate mail. I received a ton of death threats after that. I was called a skinhead. They did some. The FBI actually had to do some checkups and threat assessments because of the threats that I was receiving.
So they called you a skinhead.
Yeah, they said,
can you please repeat your last name one more time?
Challenged. They did go up and they said, you know, hey, these white supremacist skinheads, and I'm sitting here going, guys, I'm an immigrant, you know, I just have to do it legally.
Jesus. Wow.
That's.
I mean, I'm light, bright, and almost white, but I'm Hispanic.
Hey, so just out of curiosity, if we were to send you some local lodge pins from out here, if you're ever in the White House again,
no.
Would you wear one?
I'm going to do one better.
We go. He's got to one up us every time.
We're going to send you a Freemasons podcast shirt. The next press secretary. No, I'm kidding.
He's got to wear a jacket.
I know.
But if you're just hanging out in the Rose Garden or something,
yeah,
you know, throw it on.
Take a picture.
if you guys are all casual,
just saying.
T-shirts.
Yeah. I'll do that for you guys. I'll do it in the lunchroom.
That's fine. We'll accept that.
We'll send you a care package.
We'll send you a little swag bag.
Yes, sir.
That's where it comes out. But there's been tons of these memes. There's even something on YouTube where it's a little short YouTube thing. It's about, I don't know, 5 minutes, and it shows me with glowing eyes, and then it shows like Baphomet.
Wow.
And then it's there's so much involved. I mean, these guys, I'm thinking to myself, man, you went through all that trouble.
Yeah.
So now you understand my pain, because as a redhead and a ginger, I'm often accused of having no soul.
No.
So it sounds like you got a little taste of. What do you mean? What do you mean that's true?
I almost spit my beer across the room. I almost spit my beer clean across the room.
One guest calls me the P word.
Yeah.
And now another guest says I have no soul.
This is great. I like this.
Worship brother Pat Miletich told Joe that he was a females
a cat.
Reproductive.
A cat. Yes. Yeah, something like that. And now you would say I have no soul. So
it was all because you believed they wouldn't find anything on Oak Island.
And I was trying to find a common ground with you, trying to understand the persecution that you went through. I can relate, but you know.
And you have no soul.
Okay. All right. I'll go back in my hole. My friendless hole.
All right,
I got nothing but love for redheads, brother.
I love you too, brother.
All right, so let's back it up a little bit. Let's talk about what got you involved in Freemasonry, and what was it like your first degree, the process going into everything?
Oh, right on. So both my grandparents were Freemasons. I never met neither one of them. They passed away before I was born. And then my dad was a Freemason for many years. So my dad was a Mason, and he was an osteopath, and he did, he was an orthopedic surgeon. And he was a Mason. So I always had, he always had brothers around. They were always there. You know how it is, bro. They always do each other favors.
The Masonic uncles.
So they were all over the place. That's all I knew.
Yep.
And then, you know, as I got older, I was involved in other things. I didn't take the time. I didn't go through DMLA or nothing like that.
Right.
I was too busy, you know, and you guys, we can get into it later. I was too busy playing in a rock and roll band at the time. And I had a child I was in high school when I had my son. So, you know, I didn't have time for a lot of things. I was a wild kid, man. I'll be honest. I was a wild kid.
I'm still a wild kid.
And I'm still a kid. I'm just not as wild anymore. Well,
and George is about the height of a 12-year-old, but anyway.
Yeah, he gets mistaken for one every so often. Yeah.
So as I grew up and I grew older, it was something that I always saw around my dad. And when my dad, I came to a point, I lost my dad 11 years ago. And when my dad was very sick, I noticed that, you know, there was other doctors that were his friends and stuff like that. But the only ones that were really truly around were his Masonic brothers. Mm-hmm. That was it. And I got real close to them because they were always there. My dad was in the hospital and they were always coming around, and they, you know how it is, man. They were just there.
Yeah.
And they were just, you know, fantastic individuals. And I told my dad, and it wasn't, you know, it's not one of these, hey, dad, I'm going to, you know, you know, be president of the United States, or I'm going to, you know, I wasn't a bad kid, and hey, Dad, I'm not going to do anything bad anymore. But I told my dad, I said, you know what? I'm gonna become a Mason. Don't worry. I'm gonna become a Freemason. I'm gonna get close to your brothers and your friends, and I'm gonna get involved. And then my dad did end up passing away. And shortly after he passed away, I went to a lodge, here in Tucson, and I had spoken to some guys there, and I knew the guy. I knew he was a Mason for years. And I said, hey, I'm really interested in it. And I told him the whole story, and you know, I've been around it the whole time. And he said, you know what, you know, come down to this meeting, you know, you'll meet the guys, we'll explain it. So I went, I met some of the guys in the lodge. They explained some things. I knew a lot of it. I didn't know, it wasn't in depth, but I knew about it because obviously seeing my dad and, you know, if you see your dad shake, you know, his brother's hand up 10 billion times, at some point you're going to pick up the secret hand.
Yep, right, right.
You know,
yeah.
and the words and how to introduce yourself. So I had spoken to them, and I did my application, and sure enough, you know, within a month, I don't know how they pulled it off that quick, but within a month, they brought me in, and I did my first degree, and it was, to me, it was amazing. You know, it was really, really amazing. And I learned everything I needed to learn. I got my second degree within a month.
Wow.
So within a month, I got my second. And then 2 months later, I got my third. But I remember my first degree, when I first got it, I was like, that's it? Like, this ain't much. You know what I mean? This is like, it's not as crazy as people had told me.
Did your mind change on the third, though?
Huh? No, well, my mind changed on the second, bro, to be honest. All
right.
So when I get my second, and then you're exposed to more logic and more knowledge, and you know, they show you different things, and you're looking and you're going, oh wow, so this is going to be some work, you know, it's going to be more difficult. And then you get through that, and then when you get your third, I'm sitting here going, wow, this is crazy. And I got really involved in it, and I went through all the chairs. Then in 2011, so you go through all the chairs, and then in 2011, I was elected master of my lodge. So I became worshipful master of Anahuac 81. And I was, it was there. I served my year. And then the next year, you know, when you pass master, that's when things just started getting really crazy at work for me.
Right.
In 2012. And I there was some falling out there. I'm not going to get into it, but there was some falling out there with some of the brothers. Right. And then I met worshipful brother Jason Stryker in Tucson, and I went to one of his lodges, and we talked, and he says, so you go into lodge? I said, well, I'm a past master of Anahuac, but you know, I'm looking for something different. And then Jason and I clicked real well, and he said, you know what? There's a lot of guys looking for something different. We should start our separate lodge. So, you know, Jason and I got together, and then we had another brother that came involved, Chris Jordan, Aaron Feigley, just different brothers started getting involved. Gus Portillo got involved. And then we sat down. We had enough. You know, we had enough to start our own lodge. And we asked for a charter, all that. And I remember specifically because I remember we were sitting there and we're saying, well, who's going to be master? You know, because you got to have like first, second, third. And I was like, Jason's like, all right, you should be master. And I was like, I got a lot of things going on because of work. So Jason was the first master of that lodge. We named it Downtown, right? And then the number we got was 86, which to me is so funny because like 86 is pretty much when you're 86 from somewhere, it means you can't go there, right?
Yeah, right, right.
And this lodge was built and put together by a lot of guys. I don't want to say guys that didn't fit in where they were at, but a lot of guys that wanted something different at the time. And we were able to get united, and it's just so ironic that at the end of the day, it's Downtown 86.
But you know what? Congratulations on creating a new lodge and getting a new lodge charter.
Dude,
uncommon nowadays.
I was going to say, that's one hell of a Cinderella story.
Yeah, you generally see lodges either losing their charter or, you know, aggregating. You don't really see new lodges. I mean, there was one in Connecticut over the last 8 years that I can remember. There was only one.
Right.
So that's awesome. No, it's good to hear.
It's fantastic, and every single guy in the lodge, and you know how it is. Everyone's a brother. It is what it yep. is, and we defend each other and we protect each other.
Yeah.
But sometimes you go to lodges and you have guys that it's your brother, and you see him on lodge night. And some guys just show up for stated meetings, so it's just on Sunday. Yeah. We have a group text, the guys in the lodge. We actually have a group text.
That's what we
and
have.
We've been around for several years now, right? Mm-hmm. And in that group text, we talk to each other every single day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what we do.
Like every day we connect with each other, and it's awesome. It's refreshing. We meet the second Friday of every month. We hold like a family night, you would say.
Mm-hmm.
And we get together at the shrine. Half of the guys do a lot of the cooking. I do a lot of the eating.
Yeah.
And, you know what?
We all love doing that.
And then we all have fun, and we bring our families, we bring our kids, we have karaoke there. I mean, it is such a family vibe.
Mm.
It's insane. It's insane. And we even have other lodges that come and they'll tell us, like, man, you guys are so tight,
yeah.
so connected. And I think that's what, I mean, I just love it. I mean, I think masonry, to me, it's the one thing that truly keeps me sane. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been in law enforcement for over 20 years. You know, I've done a lot of crazy things in my life. If I write a book, I'm going to have so much different chapters because I've held so many jobs. I've done so many things. I've met so many people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like one day you're meeting, you know, Iron Maiden, the next minute you're hanging out with President Trump. I mean,
Time out. Back up. You met Iron Maiden?
Here yeah. you go, Joe.
That actually happened? Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, I met Iron Maiden. Back when I was playing music, I met Iron Maiden.
Oh, man, that's my favorite band of all time.
Yeah, Joe's a huge
fan. I just saw them about a month ago when they were playing here in Hartford, Connecticut. And
McBrain was like the coolest of all of them.
Are any of them brothers?
I never asked. I wasn't a Mason at the time.
Oh, okay. No, I was just curious because that
would
could
be interesting.
For sure, Brother Art, you know what Joe is after, right? He's about to go catfish Iron Maiden to see if they'll come on the podcast.
So I'll admit this on air to whoever listens to this podcast, and I don't have them on today. However, yesterday I was wearing a pair of underwear that are screen printed with the album cover of Live After Death. So that whole...
Oh, nice.
Right? Eddie coming out of the grave, blue, yellow, right. tombstone. Because it was Halloween, and I figured, okay, well, that's kind of Halloween-ish. So...
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan.
I met, like, Rob Hofford, obviously, because he's here. I'm friends with Matt Barlow of Iced Earth. I don't know if you know Iced Earth.
Yeah. We need to hang out. I'm coming out to Arizona. We're hanging out.
And in fact, he's in Connecticut.
Really?
He's a cop up there in Connecticut.
Seriously?
Really?
Yeah, he keeps telling me to go up there. He goes, you got to come up there and hang out. Because he still plays. He just played a big show in Donington.
So what are you...
Donington, like thousands.
Oh, my God. See,
what are you doing next week?
Because that's like the mecca of heavy metal concerts. It's Castle Donington.
You need to stop because I can see Joe's Halloweeny.
Oh my God, I'm totally like geeking out right now. It's two things you want to get me on. It's heavy metal and Star Wars, and right now we're on heavy metal, so that's cool. Wow, that's hey, you need to come on up to Connecticut, or we need to come out and see you.
Sure.
There you go. No, I'll come up there, man. It'd be great. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still talk to some of these guys. You know, I mean, once in a while. In fact, Matt Barlow. The lead singer for Iced Earth, he reached out to me right away when he was seeing the memes, and he says, "Hey, you know, I'm Matt Barlow. We've met before, and I'm up here in Connecticut. I'm a cop, and you know, and I knew all his whole story, and we went back and forth, and we connected, and then he came out here because he had a concert in San Diego, and he landed in Tucson just to meet me, and we hung out." You know, he had a show. He did a show. Then he did a show here in Tucson after that. And we went to eat and, you know, we just hit it off real good. And then he drove to San Diego to do his big show in San Diego.
That's awesome.
Just really cool stuff.
That's really cool.
So I have a question for you. Did you say you were master in 2011?
Yeah, 2011.
That's awesome. That's the same year I was. I was 2011, 2012.
See, it's about him again.
No, but you know what? That's like a connection. It's not like about me. Oh,
you guys are like twins.
Dude, we're like, we're going to be totally besties now.
You get t-shirts. Yeah,
you fell into the trap, brother. You fell into the trap.
No, I think that's pretty cool, though. Like, to think that, like, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm talking to somebody who's master the same year as I was.
Going through
like,
the same thing. Going through the same thing.
Yeah. Probably not the same, because he seemed, you sound like you had a pretty good master's year. Mine was not so much. How was your year as master?
No, my year was good, man. It was good. But like I said, you know, we had a little falling out afterwards, you know. But I didn't let that. That's what I tell guys. Don't let one or two bad experiences, because you're going to get them. Mm. You're even going to have them in masonry.
Right. Yep.
Don't let that make everything sour for you. And what I tell guys, especially if you've gotten your third degree, right? And you guys would know this. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the Jubala, Jubala, and Jubalum. They were masons too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. I knew
so that's what you got to keep in mind. Just because someone's a mason doesn't mean he's not going to screw you over, bro. You just got to call them out when they do and take as much of the good more than the bad. That's what I tell folks.
And we have measures to rectify that if need be.
Right. Yeah, I carry a gun and a sword just in case.
Can't have just one.
He's like our Tyler.
Yeah.
Just like it, only different.
Except better.
Our Tyler's a little nuts, so.
So's the host of this.
Really?
Man, we're all a little nuts. Come on.
Yeah, but it's just different things, man. I mean, I really enjoy what I do and going through steps. And then, obviously, I go to lodge as often as I can. Unfortunately, a lot of trips come up that I got to go to D.C. or I got to go to New York, San Diego, Houston. I mean, this last month, I was in D.C., San Antonio, Houston, El Paso, McAllen, Chula Vista, San Diego, and Imperial Beach.
Wow.
All in a month.
Do you ever see your family, or are you just always at home?
So, you know, I mean, I have, my wife is fantastic, man. I don't know, honestly, and I shouldn't say it so she can hear me, but if I was I wouldn't be married to me.
I think we
I'm
can
too
all
much
say
of
that.
A handful, man. I'm like, it's just, I'm always busy. I take them with me sometimes, like the short trips. I take them with me during the inauguration. I was able to take my family with me, so I took them up there to D.C. to the inauguration.
That's cool.
You know, we had tickets to the inauguration, to the parade, to the ball, all kinds of things. So, you know, I was able to take my family to things like that. But for the most part, you know, I'm just busy, man. I mean, a lot of FaceTiming. And when I'm home, I learned to balance, you know, that 24 inches very, very well.
Right.
So I can spend, you know, enough time with my family on issues.
And
thank God, you know, they got the lodge. So there's a lot of things going on at the lodge where I can, you know, my family's involved and you know, we do a lot of things together there.
That's awesome.
So the next time I'm getting yelled at for any reason about going to another meeting, I'm bringing this podcast up and I'm going to play it. And I'm like, see, it could be worse.
Yeah.
See,
it could be
listen
worse.
To what he does.
And if you
my wife is so awesome. I'll be honest. Like, I'll be gone for weeks and then I'll show up on a Sunday night. And then the next day I'll tell her I have lodge. And I'll go to lodge, and sometimes awesome. I'll come home. I'll get home like at 10:30 or late because you have lodge, and then, you know, you sit in the parking lot and you talk about a bunch of stuff.
Right.
And then
right.
I'll come home, and when I get home, my wife has a warm meal waiting for me at like 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Wow. She's a keeper. Yeah. She's a keeper, brother.
Yeah. Awesome.
Hold on to that. But hey,
she's great.
Next time you find yourself in the New York area, we're only about a 45-minute to an hour train ride up from the city.
Yeah, we got a train
station right across the street from us. I'll make a point of it, man. It's
please
great.
Do, please.
And then, so I'm just like I said, I'm busy with a lot of stuff, but I enjoy what I'm doing, and I do as much as I can. I also have a motorcycle association that started in Phoenix. It's called the Riders of the Third Degree.
Okay.
And then I started seeing that, and I said, "Well, man, I want to do that here in Tucson." So I got together with some brothers here in Tucson that are from my lodge also. And then we started the Riders of the Third Degree in Tucson. And, you know, obviously, I always say we because it's not about me. I mean, I can't do anything by myself. You need a team. So once again, Brother Toby, who I mentioned, he helped, you know, Eric Dupree, another, you know, Worshipful Brother Eric Dupree, Mark Hyman, Tony Pickle. I mean, there was just a bunch of guys that we got together. Dave Morgan Flash was the current master of my lodge. You know, all of these guys, we get together and we started, you know, the Riders of the Third Degree here in Tucson. And what we do now is and this is where it's ironic because people attack me for my job, right?
Right.
This is what makes it ironic. We do a motorcycle run at the beginning of the year. So after Christmas, after all that, we do a big motorcycle run here. We bring guys, you know, from all over the place that help, and we raise toys and we raise money for the Children's Square and Compass Hospital.
Nice. Okay.
And the Square and Compass Hospital here in Tucson said since its proximity to the border is so close, a lot of their work is bringing kids in from Mexico that we take in and we give them medical treatment. So I laugh when I get attacked for my job and for wanting to enforce immigration laws because I say, I'm doing more for the Mexican kids than you are by protesting.
Yeah,
right. I'm actually giving them health care.
No, and I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up because that's something that I definitely wanted to make sure that we spoke about and the work that you do there, because in our prior conversations, you had mentioned that, and it's something that people see you in your position and make certain assumptions, but you as a brother and as a Mason and just as a good human being in general, like you said, you're doing more to help these children than anybody holding a picket sign or, you know, doing what they do to protest it. You're actually taking action and benefiting that community. So thank you for bringing that up. And thank you, more importantly, for doing that.
Yep.
Right. No, thank you. I had CNN reach out. So CNN reached out. They came down here and they wanted to do a documentary on the border and they wanted to talk to me about it. And it was right around the time when we had just finished one of our runs, and I said it in passing, and they did a story. So CNN actually did a story on the Riders of the Third Degree and talked about, you know, the other brothers that are there, and they intertwined it with saying, this is what he does, you know, for his job, but this is the person that he is. Yeah. So CNN, and it was strange to me, right? Because they usually attack my profession.
Exactly. And as you're saying this, I'm thinking to myself, really, CNN? Yeah.
I was waiting for the shoe to drop, not going to lie.
They did a great job.
Good.
They did a great job actually bringing everything to light and explaining things. And at the end, when they were leaving, she says, Art, I can't even butcher this. I can't even do anything wrong. She says, you guys are doing a good thing. You're a good dude.
If I may,
I'm just saying, you know what? You're a good dude.
That's great.
And I didn't say anything. I didn't respond. But, you know, in the back of my mind, I always think, well, what did you think? Did you think I was a monster?
Yeah. Were you going to try to assassinate
when you just told that, like, thank you. That's exactly what I was thinking. I can't even butcher this means to me that you were going, to butcher it.
Exactly.
Right. So I.
Exactly.
That was, I don't know.
But you know what? The fact that they told it like it was is good.
Yeah. I'm bringing as much light to the craft as possible. I'm explaining things to people. You know, I've been asked many times about my pin. I kind of quit wearing it. I'm not wearing it as often as I can in a lot of them. And that's just because, you know, I did see some, there was a lot of guys fighting over it, you know, some in favor, some against it. And that's the last thing I want. I don't want, you know, any ascension amongst the brothers themselves, but I do NRA TV. So I come out on NRA TV. So I do something with Grant Stitchfield on NRA. I've done a couple shows with Dana Lash on NRA TV, and I wear it on NRA all the time.
Now, here's just me. Have you ever seen that Geico commercial where the cowboy keeps coming out with the bigger and bigger belt buckle?
Yeah.
Okay, so if somebody told me that they didn't like me wearing my Masonic lapel pin, I would be just like the Geico, where my whole left side of my body would be slunched over from the size of the lapel pin would be on my jacket.
But that's just you, George.
That's just me. I'm a dick.
And I can't endorse that because I work for one of Geico's major competitors.
Well, you know what's funny is that
I can't endorse that.
That I get a bunch of them now. So I'll tell you this. I don't wear it like plain, like you can see it.
Right.
But there's different brothers from all over the country. They send me Masonic pins. Where you can't really tell that it's in there unless you're a brother. And I still wear those, man. Like, I got one from one of the Shriners, and it's a happy face. It's really crazy. It's just a happy face. but he's wearing a fez, and inside the fez is a square and compass.
Okay.
And so, I wear that one, and it's like, you know what? I'm still going to do it. You just got to look for it.
Okay,
and
cool.
I still wear my ring all the time. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of public speaking events, and I make it like for sure I got to be wearing my Masonic lapel pin. And then I have a big belt buckle. When you mentioned sure belt buckles, I have gesturing a big belt buckle with the square encompasses on it, and I always wear that one, and I let nice people see it.
So if I sent you the Freemasons podcast lapel pin that's full of LED lights and strobes, you probably wouldn't wear it, huh?
Little lasers.
I'll pierce my nose, bro. I'll pierce my nose. Whoa. I'm live and wear it.
You heard it, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first.
Plays music. Oh, here's the final countdown. <Da-da-da-da>. So
that'd be great.
Serious question for you. As we talked about this earlier, as a Freemason, we are taught to, you know, contribute and help mankind. That's what one of our tenets and goals are, more especially a brother, right, but, you know, mankind in general. And as a Border Patrol agent, you are also in charge of defending the border. So I guess one of the questions is, how do you reconcile the two? And I think you've pretty much already answered this, what you were saying with the hospital and all that, with the kids and everything. But is there a reconciliation of the two? Like, how do you, you know, be a Mason and at the same time, you know, defend the border and defend the country?
You know, I mean, I think it comes down to this. There was a crazy story that I heard from one of the brothers at my lodge, where I think it was his great grandfather was involved in World War II. And he strictly remembers you saying that there was two brothers, one, you know, on opposite sides, and one got injured, and they treated him with respect, took care of him. And when he was healthier, you know, they pretty much allowed him to go back. And I think that's a lot of what it comes down to. I'm out here working the border, obviously, right? And there's laws that I have to abide by, and there's laws that I have to enforce. And that's what I do. It's my job. I took an oath to defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Right.
And I take that oath very serious, just like I take my Masonic obligation very serious and my oath to Masonry. And if you look closely into it, you know, it's you take this oath and it's something that's not going to affect you. And I'm not going to go into word by word because then you don't know who's listening. Right. But, you know, it's very
anybody.
Your Masonic oath is very specific of, you know, what it's gonna and what it's not gonna affect. And my job and Masonry doesn't affect each other. I'm out here defending our nation's borders. It's something I believe in. I believe in the red, white, and blue. I believe in, you know, abiding by the laws of the country where you live and reside and who you have given, you know, your actual allegiance to. And Masonry is universal. It's beautiful. I have brothers that I have contact with in Mexico. We go back and forth. We talk about a lot of issues. Obviously, you know, you don't talk politics or religion in the lodge.
Right.
But after it's over, we deal with each other and we talk about it. And I have not faced any attacks. This is what's even funnier. All the attacks that I have felt within Masonry have come from brothers that are in my own country and, you know, citizens of the United States. But every brother from another country that I've spoken to actually says they're very proud of what I do, who I am. And they say, hey man, we're very proud that you were up there talking to the president. We're very proud that you go to the White House. Regardless of whether we agree with this president's stance or his political moves, we think it's very awesome that a brother is in that house, and that's what's just great to me. But at the same time, it's kind of sad, and I'm not trying to be a snowflake about it, but it is sad that most of the attacks that I have received have been received from brothers that are citizens of the United States.
Yeah. I also think it's an ignorance thing. They're ignorant to what you exactly do down there and, you know, the good and the bad. Not that you guys do anything bad, but, you know, like
preventing people from crossing the border. That's, I guess, in some people's eyes, a bad thing. Oh, they should just let them all in. But you're protecting the border. But now, what did I just hear yesterday? It was somebody who was talking. It might even been somebody from the Border Patrol who is telling the amount of drugs and all kinds of bad shit that gets caught at the border. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people who are convicted felons and have been, you know, tried and, you know, been in trouble before, like, I guess.
And you think about everything that potentially happened with the cartels. That's what a lot of people
don't get. So just to give you guys statistics, numbers now, fentanyl is like a crazy drug that affects a lot of people. A lot of lives have been lost because of fentanyl. Mm-hmm. And last year alone, Customs and Border Protection, they seized enough fentanyl coming into the border illegally to kill every single human being in the United States. Wow. If that doesn't like open your eyes a little bit and shock you, I mean, I tell people, you know, the heroin that's coming into the country, it's crazy. Yeah. And it's a simple, I tell my own brothers, I tell them this, look, if somebody wants to join Masonry, are you just going to go ahead and give them all the secrets of a master Mason?
Right. Nope.
Well, if the border's the same, bro, if you want to come into this country, you got to come in legally and there's a process.
Yep.
So I think of the movie, you ever see the movie 28 Weeks Later? 28 days later, one of the two.
Is that
the movie? The zombie movie, okay. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking.
I've seen 29 weeks with Mickey Rourke, though.
Oh, that was 9.5 weeks, and that was a hell of a movie, brother. 9.5. Oh, Mickey Rourke, Kim Basinger. Oh, I was in high school when that came out. Oh, boy. You just brought me back.
I think I was in elementary.
So was I.
But I think about like that movie, 28 weeks later, 28 days later, whatever, it was the zombies, right? And the one dude's the zombie, and all the crowd of innocents are trying to get in there. But one zombie turns into a bunch of zombies, right? And they're all trying to push their way to get into, you know, get away from the zombies. But if you're letting the good in unopposed, you're also letting the bad in. This is the way I look at it.
Yeah, you're increasing your risk profile.
So how do you differentiate the two? I never understood that. Like, I think you should. And this is my opinion, solely my opinion, you should block everyone from coming in, and then you have the option to pick and choose. Just like with Freemasonry, we don't just let anybody come join our craft. You have to go through an investigation committee. You have to have it a voucher or recommend it. Like
there are policies and there are rules and regulations to govern it, and the same is true of our borders.
Right.
And
I guess that's my take.
Worshipful Brother Art is down there to enforce those laws.
Right.
Same thing. And I tell you, I know a lot of it because of what I work, but my father retired in the U.S. Uh-huh. and then he opened up a private practice in Mexico, and he had to jump through hoops because of the Mexican government now allowing him to do it because he had all his degrees and everything in the U.S. So, I mean, there's a process, man. At the end of the day, there's a process. This is what I tell people. It's a line that I've used many times. It's funny because President Trump used it to address the nation once, and after he said it, my phone got, you know, blew up. Hey, he used your line. He used your line. Always said, I lock my doors at night because I love the people inside, not because I hate the people outside.
Right.
And that's how I feel about the borders.
Right. That's a good way of putting it.
That is a very good way of putting it. So you're also a Shriner.
Yeah, I'm a Shriner. It's funny. Eric Dupree and Dave Morgan Flash are my brothers, and you know, Worshipful Brothers, both of them, and they got me more involved in the Shriner. My dad was a Shriner, and I always wanted to get involved in a Shrine. And I went to a Silver Wings ball and dinner several years ago. And you guys are getting ready to laugh, and I'm gonna have so many other brothers that are gonna mock me for this one, right? So I'm a big WWE fan. Okay. I'm a wrestling fan.
I am too. So you're good. Yeah, you're good. I'm here with you.
You and Joe, like twinsies.
All right, total
sort. Now I'm sitting in my chair right now. I'm listening.
So I go to a Grand Lodge, right? And that's when you have all the other, you know, areas of Freemasonry coming and say, hey, join here, join York, join the Scottish Rite, join the York, join the Shriners. You know what I mean? You had all these guys. And there was two brothers from Phoenix, right? And they were big. They were big dudes. I mean, they looked big. And they were all wearing like the gray suits, and they all had the gray goatee and the long ponytail, and they were wearing their fez, right? And it was a big fez. They were just, it was big dudes, right? And they reminded me so much of that Nikita Koloff, that old wrestler.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The Russian Nightmare.
Yep, even I remember.
Yeah, the Russian.
The Russian Nightmare. I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
And I saw these guys, and I was like, bro, these guys look like they could be like an awesome tag team, right? WWE style. And I said, you know what, man? I just, my dad was a Shriner. All his friends were. I got to join the Shrine. I went to the Silver Wings dinner with the guys in my lodge that are Shriners. I was talking to them. This young lady comes up, and she was talking about how the Shriners have helped her. I looked at Eric Dupree, and I said, bro, I'm in, man. I don't care what I got to do. I'm in. Mm-hmm. And I got my application in that same day before the ball was even over. I said, here, man, I got to be a Shriner. And I still, he still makes fun of me because the other day I was at the trunk or treat for the Shriners, and I was taking pictures. And it's on my Facebook. And I put, how cool are these guys? I love these guys. Shriners are so cool. And Eric laughs at me and he says, dude, you're one of them. Stop. And I was like, I still can't believe it. And I know it's funny, but I don't know, man. I remember growing up seeing the Shriners, and it was, how can I say? It's like the Justice League. You know what I mean? They know something that no one else knows.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to know it. And it's just, the Shriners just, every bit of Freemasonry, bro, holds a humongous place in my heart. The Shriners is just something really special to me, as is, you know, the Riders of the Third Degree, the Motorcycle Association I'm with. And obviously, everyone loves their lodge, but I have so much love for the brothers in my lodge that if they called me like at any time of the night, hey, we need you for this or that, I'd show up. It's just that, to me, there's nothing more important than Masonry. There really isn't. I mean, I love my family, obviously, and God, but, you know, after my family and God, it's the number one thing for me.
And that's something that's really hard to explain to somebody that's not in the fraternity. Absolutely. I have friends of mine that I explain to all the time, no, if I had an issue, and I don't say this in a braggadocious way, but I say where if I had an issue and I were to put out a call, I'd have a bunch of brothers come help me out.
These guys would be here.
Like, questions asked. They would be there in a blink of an eye and not ask any questions. They would help me out in any way they could, and they would not expect anything in return. And that's just the way the fraternity works. And that's such a rare thing these days, and part of the beauty of the fraternity, that people just outside of the fraternity have a hard time grasping that concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you don't see.
And, you know, one of my big issues has always been, so I'm horrible at memorizing certain things, right? So I am like the last probably in my entire lodge when it comes to ritual work and memorizing things, right? But I know the meaning of it. And I tell people sometimes, and I think, don't get me wrong, and I've said this many times, and my brothers in lodge, you know, they'll tell me, oh, come on, Art. But they'll understand where I'm coming from, and they get it. Look, anyone can memorize ritual. Anyone can memorize it.
Right.
You know, and I think it's important. I don't think they should not push for the memorization of the ritual. I think it's important.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think too many people memorize that ritual, but don't understand the meaning of the ritual.
Exactly.
And they don't live by the ritual. Like, I don't have the ritual memorized at all anymore. Right. It's been forever. I mean, as master, I had everything I needed to memorize. But you know what? I know what it's about, and I live by that ritual.
And that's
even though I don't know word for word, I live by. You can teach a parrot. A parrot can memorize a ritual. Let's be honest.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, but that doesn't mean that they know what they're doing. And I've said it many times because you hear guys say, "Hey, we need more members. We need more members." You know what? We have enough members. We need more Masons.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So let me ask you something a little lighter, and this is going to determine whether or not we can actually be friends.
Star Trek is better than Star Wars.
It's been qualified already.
No, okay. I'm gonna pretend like I didn't hear that. Just so you know. But we're gonna keep it to wrestling. Ric Flair or Hulk Hogan?
Man, you know,
Choose wisely.
Go with Flair, bro.
Okay, all right. We could be friends.
That's I gotta go with Flair.
Okay.
Like, I think I remember being a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll tell you why I think I gotta go with Flair. And I'm going off topic, but I'm gonna tell you why.
No, that's okay. I want to hear why, because I'm excited. I'm so excited right now that you said Ric Flair.
Because WWE, when it was WWF, right?
Yeah.
That it flooded all cable TV, Saturday Night's Main Event, all that. Uh-huh. And it was just Hulk everywhere. Right, everything was Hulk Hogan, but regardless of whether you were able to watch Flair on TV, you still knew who Ric Flair was.
Absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely.
And that's why Flair is the man.
So I'm gonna.
And I got pictures with Flair.
I do too.
I know Flair.
I have
met Flair a couple times.
I have in my house an autographed what they call Big Gold, the old WCW / NWA championship.
I know what you're talking about.
Signed by Ric Flair. It's one of the prized possessions of in my household. And if anybody were to ask me, what's the one thing you would grab out of your house if the house were on fire, it wouldn't be the wedding albums. It wouldn't be anything else. It would be my Ric Flair autographed belt that signed Ric Flair 16-time world champion. That is my prize.
But you got to end it with woo! You got to go woo!
So one other question for you, wrestling question.
All right.
Best tag team of all time.
Oh, bro, you're going to do that to me?
Yeah, I am. And I'll give you a little leeway because there's quite a few out there. But
you're putting a brother on the spot.
No, it's okay. But if
I'm going to tell you my number one.
Number one.
I'm going to tell you who's close second.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
So to me, number one.
Yeah.
The Road Warriors.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We're friends. We're friends for life. We're brothers, but we're also friends for life.
He chose all
right.
wisely.
All right. So now, who's your close second?
The Fabulous Freebirds, bro.
Oh, there you go.
Bam Bam Gordy.
Terry Bam Bam Gordy. And who was the third one?
Jimmy Garvin.
There you go. There you see? You're the man. We can be lifelong friends now.
I have a non-wrestling related question for Worshipful Brother Hart, if I may, for a change.
Fine, I'll turn it over to you. But
who was asking? So I can't see you guys. Who was asking me the wrestling questions?
Worshipful Brother Joe. Worshipful Brother Joe.
Oh.
Hey, Joe, you're as bad as I am with my podcast, bro. You're like all over the place, bro.
You know what? Because I have no soul.
George,
because I'm the one that has no soul. So it's all
Are
right.
Are you the soulless one?
Yes, I'm the ginger... Wrestling fan, all that. I'm all over, man.
I love all three of you guys, even though I haven't met you in person. But, bro, you're a badass, bro.
Right?
You're a badass.
I'm your favorite. And I'm the one that has the great hair, too. George has, half a head of hair.
You're the straw that stirs the drink right now.
See? Thank you.
Never heard it put that way. But
Let's isolate that and replay it like you did with Pat Miletich calling me the P word. let's do that. But see, you
I
and
may
I
have edited out the part where he told you to stop being a P word.
You did not edit that out. You did not edit that out.
No. I didn't edit it out. I isolated it and kept it, and now it's my ringtone.
Yeah, it's my ringtone now.
So when you call me, that's what comes up.
Yeah, son of a...
Stop being a beep.
You know what? Worship Brother Art, we're good. We're good. I have no further questions.
There you go.
Worship Brother Ken.
Worship Brother Art. The Riders of the Third Degree, the motorcycle club that you were talking about earlier.
It's an association.
The association. Did you start that?
No, it was started by a brother, Tony Hernandez, up in Frank Tanner.
Okay.
Two brothers up in Brad Howe. I can't forget all three. Man, I'm going to get killed because I forget to mention people.
No,
it's okay.
But
it started up in Phoenix, and then I saw it. I thought it was awesome. I mean, the way that the patch is, you know, the back patch.
Yep.
So it's a three. It's number three in yellow. And then we have a green background. It's a square, and it's not a diamond shape. It's mm-hmm. a square, mm-hmm. and then you have the skull and crossbones, and then you have the three lights.
Oh, nice.
And I thought it was really cool. I saw it. I wanted to be part of it because obviously I've been riding for a while.
Yep.
And you know, I got with brothers here in Tucson that were part of my lodge, and they had told me you need five guys to start it, and I got five guys pretty quick. And
oh, so you started it, and you started your chapter in your area. Okay. Yeah, we
take it off. We do the bike run. I'm friends with Richard Alvarez out of San Diego, who was on the Mayans Motorcycle Club TV show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So he came down to the last run, and he set up shop here and everything. And he's so I'm hoping to get them, you know, down here this year again, this next year.
That's really cool.
Yeah, we have the Widow's Sons up here. I've never heard of the Riders of the Third Degree before. I didn't know that was.
We're just in Arizona.
Okay.
And we have Widow's Sons here too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a national association.
Yeah, but I'm too old to prospect for people. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit there and prospect for anyone.
I hear you, brother. I hear you.
Side question for you, because I may or may not have heard it. I had to leave the room. I had to go to help out the Eastern Star in the other room. But did you announce your clown's name?
My clown?
Yeah, your clown. What's his name?
I'm not a clown.
Oh, because I seen a picture of you and your. I thought it was a picture of you and your Facebook of a clown. Right?
So this is funny,
doesn't
bro.
Doesn't mean it was him.
Every Halloween,
clown,
I dress
how
up like
could
a clown.
You tell?
I dress up like a clown every Halloween.
Nice.
All right.
That's all right.
See, I like clowns.
Now, see, I thought that. See, I don't like clowns because I seen the movie It, and it's always, you want a balloon, Georgie? No, I don't want a fucking balloon.
Do you want
some
lapel
pins? Bro, if you look at my movie collection, I have a collection of nothing but clown movies. I got about 53 clown movies.
Are there that many? Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
There are quite a few.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space? You got
there
that?
There are a lot of B clown movies.
I got. You got to look at the B movies, like the old school Up All Night.
Yep.
Garbage?
Yeah.
Yep. There are a ton.
What was your name? Ron or something or other? USA Up All Night. Yeah, you go. There you go. See? Yeah. You and I, same page, brother. Same page.
I remember that.
That's funny.
You're my favorite brother that's on this podcast right now. Right, and I'm sitting with two others.
That's harsh, bro.
Hey, the man said Ric Flair and the Road Warriors.
Yeah, I know. I'm
See,
done.
This is the problem, Worship Brother Art. You give Joe an inch, you take a freaking mile. So,
there you go.
You know.
Question for you. So, in your career, again, you met obviously the president.
Right.
Have you met with other politicians as well, or?
Yeah. So I've met obviously the president, the vice president, several congressmen, senators, Ted Cruz. Congressman here in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I've met Senator Johnson. Just so many. Andy Biggs, I'm a big fan of.
How about John
McCain? Andy Biggs.
Had you met John McCain?
I met John McCain several times. We had dinner several times.
Oh wow.
We had lunch. Yeah, I met John McCain. I did a commercial for John McCain.
Oh wow. Any of which were brothers?
I know John Tester is.
Oh, I was just curious.
He's up in Montana.
Okay.
He's a senator in Montana. And I'll tell you what's funny, because I always wear my ring. There's a lot of the staffers. There's a lot of the guys, the staff guys, that are very open about it. And they'll tell you, hey, look, and they'll see my ring and we'll talk about it. But there's a ton of staffers and the aides to a lot of these guys that are brothers.
Cool.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
But nothing like the meme, right? That got us connected.
what was that?
Nothing like the meme, right? That got us connected and talking.
Oh, no.
I just got to clarify it because somebody will listen to the podcast and then I'll end up getting hate mail too. And it's,
they need to hate. They need to send like hate mail to you guys too.
We've already got hate mail, but
but most of it's from me.
Not from who you think.
Most
it is.
Of it's from one of us.
No, it's crazy because obviously. So I have an Instagram, right? I have my personal one, and then I have an official one, and I get a lot of messages through the official one sometimes. Right. It's really crazy. You know, I get some. Oh, you guys use it, and some of it are attacks because of Freemasonry. There's one guy that constantly would send me stuff. And he would just be attacking me. And I was
give
man,
me his name.
You know,
we'll send him
like,
some
you
stuff
got a lot
back.
Of free time on your hands.
Sounds like my father-in-law.
Hey, listen.
Explain to him Agent 47.
After we get off this phone call and finish the interview, give us his name. We'll send him some stuff. I'm thinking like
there you go.
Glitter bombs. What are we thinking?
We got people for that.
Glitter bombs. We could do that.
We have Agent 47 that we will deploy as needed to... Usually he goes after Illuminati, but
so we had a listener.
Well, I like to say I'm not only Illuminati, I'm super naughty.
I like that. Can I use that?
Yeah. So we have a listener who ended up becoming pretty good friends with us. His brother Rob Fowler out of Missouri, and
we got in this whole thing of, I don't know if you've noticed this, but on a lot of the Freemasons Facebook pages, like actual legitimate Freemason Facebook pages and social media things,
right,
this Illuminati Brotherhood popped up out of nowhere, right? And it's always, oh, you know, if you want to see the light, come join us on the...
We promise you riches and fortune.
Right.
But it's not the real deal. They're scammers.
Yeah. Contact us through the WhatsApp, right? And then it's some bogus number. And then it turned out it's somebody from Nigeria who's trying to, like, make you...
send me $500 for goat's urine or something.
Yeah. It's crazy stuff.
Right, right.
So we actually, he kind of, well... I maybe we push the issue, maybe not, but
well, he trolls
all for
them.
It. He trolls them.
Yeah.
So that's our Agent 47.
That's funny. No, and then you know what? That's funny that I have a problem with some of them because so there's a Facebook page out there, and I don't want to like dog on them, right? Or say anything bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean the real Illuminati Brotherhood is a fraternal order, theoretically.
There's one out there that's like interesting. I don't remember what it's called. Like it's pretty much. Freemasons worldwide or interest, whatever it is, like something along that line.
Mm-hmm.
But it lets you believe that it's for Freemasons. But I constantly see guys on there saying, hey, I'm getting my first degree tonight, or hey, I'm finally getting my second degree tonight. And I'm thinking, who allows these guys in the page, man? You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what I have an issue with. It's, you know, so many pages that have been, you know, popped up.
Yeah.
That's just crazy to me.
Yeah, we can't assume that any Facebook group is a tiled Masonic lodge because they're not.
Right.
Right.
And you know
so you can't speak freely there about Masonry.
And the other thing
is, not at all.
We basically go after this Illuminati Brotherhood because they're the ones trying to scam people out of money. So that's kind of like our thing.
Are they selling stuff or what?
No. They say, hey, if you want to join the Illuminati Brotherhood, send us $200, and the $200 covers your initiation fee and all of the different things that you will need for your ritual. And then they come up with some crazy list that's absolutely absurd. Like, it's like,
it might actually be goat urine. Like,
yeah,
something crazy,
like
stuff
goat
like that.
Goat urine, the head of a bald eagle, just random crazy shit. And you're sitting there going, like, what the hell? It's them trying to get you to, you know, give them money. And of course, you know, it always traces back to, like, you know, some third world nation. So that's pretty much what.
Dude, now I'm confused because that my first degree involved all that. So, like, did they scam me?
Uh-oh, we got a clandy. That's what we call our...
There's all kinds of stuff going on in there.
That's what we call our clandestine brothers. We call them clandies.
Not going to lie, though, you got me for a minute there. I'm like, oh, shit. And then I'm like, nah, he's messing with me.
We got a...
No, I say that. I joke around with people because, you know, you get the whole go and all that other stuff.
Right.
And I always laugh about that. You know, right. I always laugh about that. And I have an ad... And I'm sure she's not gonna listen to this podcast, but if she does, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
But I have an aunt that she really thinks that, like, the Freemasons are total full blown devil worshippers, right?
That's my mother-in-law.
When I said full blown, that doesn't mean we're half blown, you know, devil worshippers. But, you know, she thinks it's like super evil. And I remember she was here one night, and I'm going to lodge, and I said, hey, I'm leaving, you know, I gotta go to lodge. And my aunt was like, what kind of lodge? And I said, well, Freemasonry.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, please tell me you're not a Freemason. I said, yeah, I'm a 32nd degree Freemason. You know, I belong to this country, right? And I tell her all that.
Damn right I am. Like,
oh, my gosh. She goes, it's too late for you.
You
completely sold your soul. And I was like, I laughed. And I said, no, man, it's not about that. And she's like, yes, it is. And I heard, I said, look, I got to go. I can't stay too long. Because I'm the one that's holding on to the goat's feet tonight before they cut its neck.
You just completely gave up at that point. You're like, whatever. She's not going to listen no matter what.
I'll send her a copy of it now.
I've been there.
That's funny. So. All right.
But, you know, there's just a lot of misconceptions, bro.
Yeah, no, they're out there.
Just like that. Just like the meme, everything else. One of my favorite memes. So before President Trump became president, we had a meeting with him at the Trump Towers. I was about to say the Twin Towers. No, at the Trump Towers.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat there and the media came in and the media was asking questions. And from that meeting, there was a lot of pictures. And it was right after the Batman versus Batman Superman movie came out.
Yeah.
Where Who was the Lex Luthor? That guy with the stringy hair, that weird.
He's a little squirrely guy. I don't know what his name is.
He was the guy that played Mark Zuckerberg in the social media movie. Jesse Eisenberg.
Right. So DC, it was DC Comics, which is hilarious, right? And that's when I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. DC Comics took a picture of us meeting with President Trump, and somebody made a meme out of it, and it said, DC had all these Lex Luthors to pick from, and they picked this guy. So it was funny because it's a picture of all of us sitting there with our bald heads.
It's actually pretty funny.
That is funny. Yeah, that is funny.
Clever. Right?
I'm a
comic book nerd, so I thought that was funny.
See, another thing that I love about you. I feel like we're related in some way.
And Epstein didn't kill himself.
But anyway.
I'm going to dye my mustache red just for you.
There we go. Now we have a true fan.
Halloween is past.
Put a little extra something in your swag bag for you.
The eyebrows. You guys are awesome, man. You guys are seriously awesome. I want to thank you guys, and I want to commend you guys for what you're doing. It takes a lot of guts, you know, especially now when you have a lot of individuals that want to attack certain groups in certain areas. Mm-hmm. You guys have gone through that extra step. You guys made a commitment to do this podcast, talk to brothers, talk about how, you know, relaxed and sound cool the craft really is. And I really admire you guys. You guys are awesome. All three of you guys are amazing individuals. I am blessed, and I'm a better man, a better Mason, just because I ran into your podcast and because I ran into guys like you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
We have something back to give to you. So, brothers, charge your cannons. It's
my cannon is charged in a line.
Mine is not. Oh. How did that happen?
Stay with us one moment, brother.
Stay with us one moment.
No, I'm good. What you got?
So we're drinking a Scotch whiskey?
It is a Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, very special small batch from Larceny.
Out of Kentucky?
I think it has to be out of Kentucky to be called bourbon.
Yeah, it's got to be Kentucky.
It does?
Yep. It is from Kentucky.
And we would like to toast you, Worship Brother Art.
Let's see if he screws it up. Go ahead. Give it a shot.
I wasn't finished.
I know. I'm just waiting.
I was going to say Art and Brother Toby.
Oh, okay. So you're going to skip it.
Brother Toby.
No, I want you to say his last name. I want you to say it. Say it. Go ahead. Art.
Cueto?
Del Cueto. Okay, I'll give it to you. Right. I'll give it to you.
I got it.
Yeah, okay.
You see the sabotage the son of a bitch does to me?
No, I just got giddy. I just got giddy. And Brother Toby.
Yes. So I'd like to toast you both. So, brethren, right hand to arms.
To arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire. Good fire. Fire all. Together, brothers.
Vivat. Vivat. Vivat.
To you, brother. Thanks for being on the podcast. We appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Keep in touch, and I will continue to send you Epstein did not kill himself pictures and memes.
Awesome. Yeah, dude. And you know what? I know some of you guys may have sent me a friends request. Send me a message telling me it's you, because I don't know who's who.
You got it, brother.
You can't miss Joe,
because I'm the rock star. The stir that stirs the drink.
He's red and gray hair. Red and gray hair.
There's not that much gray in my head. There's some in the beard. You know, stop it. Stop it. We can't all look like we're 12 years old, especially in your height.
There we go.
You know, you talk a lot of junk for a guy that's 4'9".
You guys are great, man. You guys are truly great. It was truly a blessing to be on your show, and I appreciate everything you guys did, man.
All
right. Great. And we'll be in touch off air to get your address. We do actually have some lovely parting gifts for you that we'll send out to you. And we'll get some info, and then we'll go from there. But if you ever find yourself in the Connecticut area, let us know. And if I'm out in Arizona, I will definitely look you up unless you put a restraining order on me like most people do.
No, absolutely.
But
I'm going to make it a point to get out there with you guys.
Oh, please. Awesome. We would love that. That'd be awesome. Absolutely love that.